At this point, our junior church is dismissed. We have something special just for you. Grab your Bibles, please, the book of Exodus. We're going to be in chapter 16. And we're going on the idea of the lessons we learn in the desert. Lessons in the desert. As the Lord brings us through and just works in us. And I don't know about you, but I have a long ways to go before I was going to say perfect, but perfect's not even on the scale yet. You know, the Lord's just working on us and bring us into a deeper relationship. And it just takes time as God works in us and processes in us who He is and the lessons we have to learn along the way. You know, I wish I would, you know, the moment I got saved that all of a sudden I knew it all. And I had it all figured out. But it doesn't work that way. And I think because, you know, here is where I'm at and this is where I need to be. The change is so great that I think if God tried to change me all at once, I'd snap. But anyway, He works on us step by step, day by day. And there's lessons that I can learn today that I wasn't ready for before. And maybe there's lessons down the road that God still has to work in me to bring me to a place where I'm willing to hear and accept it. And I can become what He needs me to be. And so in here, we talk about the idea of the lessons that we have in the desert. And we've come down to the point where, you know, last week we talked about how they were thirsty. And the Lord brought them through that bitterness. And sometimes we have to go through bitterness in our lives to learn the lesson He has for us, that God is faithful. He's there in the midst of that bitterness, of the trials, right? We talked about it a little bit this morning in Sunday school that, you know, in our lives, God doesn't always stop the world, stop the circumstances that we're going through. He doesn't stop the pain. But what He does oftentimes is see us through it. That we're not going through it alone. That we have God who holds our hand, that wraps His arms around us, and in the quietness and the stillness of the long nights we're in, He's there to encourage us. He gives us songs in the night, the Bible says. And what a blessing that is to have. Well, now we get down to chapter 16, and they're pressing on further. And God's bringing them to Mount Sinai, where we'll have the encounter with God, where God gives them the Ten Commandments. But they come up through and they're traveling. They just got thirsty. Well, guess what happens? You guys travel with a family down the road. It always starts with, I'm thirsty. Right? So you give them a little bit of water. Then comes, I'm hungry. And guess what? The children of Israel are the same way. So they head off into the desert place. And they get hungry. And God's going to teach them a very valuable lesson. And in here, I think of this passage, you know, give us this day our daily bread, part of the Lord's Prayer, that, you know what, I just need to get by today. Do you find yourself worrying about tomorrow or next week or down the line? And I'm not a worrier by nature. I have my other faults that I have, you know. Some of you are worriers. I always tell people, you know you're a worrier if you worry that you worry too much. Right? And you know, what's going to happen tomorrow and all the what ifs and how's this going to work out and how's this, right? God has called us to be faithful to His work, to do what He wants us to do. But oftentimes, the details, it's up to Him. Lord, just get me through today. Let you get me through today. Give us this day our daily bread. And that's the lesson He's going to teach Israel, and hopefully we'll learn that this morning. And the first thing we look at is the idea of living daily. What it does is forces us to fully rely on Him. Fully relying. Right? If we're hanging on to God, and we're waiting for God's provision, and this is, God's going to work, God's going to do that. There's not a whole lot of room for me left over. Right? I want to have my plan B and my plan C and Sometimes I'm down to plan F, right? These things haven't worked out, and I haven't been able to push through, and I'm scrambling all this. But boys, if you live by faith and say, God, I'm fully relying on you, day by day, I'll tell you, that's sort of an adventurous way to live. We had a professor in school who put it this way. He goes, living by faith is like living on a cliff. He goes, when wind blows, sometimes you're just hanging down for dear life, but boy, the view is great. Right? And we live by faith it's that way. How's this all going to work out? What's going to happen? But boy, God, you know, it's amazing how you work things out. It's amazing how, you know what? You do good work, God, if I will relying on you. Let's get into Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 and 3. It says, isn't the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses? We're going to see this pattern throughout the book of Exodus. The Israelites were whiny. They complained often of the circumstance. We saw this, you know, where they're thirsty. They complain. Guess what? Now they're hungry. Guess what they're going to do again? Complain. It said, against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hands of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall be prepared what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. They set out through, and they get really hungry, right? And they're like, oh man, we were just better off in Egypt. See, Israel had a problem of always looking back. And sometimes when we look back in the past, we shrouded in this idea of the glory days. And can I tell you something? The glory days often weren't so glorious. Right? Somehow we remember them differently. Think about this. They're out here, we're hungry. Oh, we were better off in Egypt. No, you weren't. You guys were slaves. You guys were beaten. You were killed. But we remember it so differently. Right? We remember going back and, we had meat. We'd sit by the pot and, you can almost smell it now. We had bread till we were full. Life was so good back then. Don't fall into that trap. When we rely on God, God provides us this day. And I'll tell you, nothing will suck your joy more if you live in the past. Because things are never as good. Things are never as wonderful as they used to be. Well, our memory plays a lot of tricks on us. Because oftentimes the golden years weren't so golden. Right? We catch up into this, and we plague ourselves now with this distorted view of how good those were. And I've talked to a lot of people over the years that really get trapped. Right? I mean, there's some people, maybe you know some people, you know, they peaked pretty early in life. Luckily for me, I haven't peaked yet, so I have something to look forward to, right? You know, but you talk to the athlete who, you know, you ever talk to someone like they're in their 50s and they talk about high school sports and how great they were back then, right? Or the girl, and she was the cheerleader, and her life kind of peaked when you were 16. That's a rough way to live from here on out. But it's amazing how we look back and distort things to be unsatisfied where we're at now. That's what Israel did. Oh, how great it was. No, it wasn't. Oh, how things were so wonderful. No, they weren't. Lord, help me with today. And even if yesterday was better, right? Maybe we did have some highlights. Maybe we did have some peaks in the back. Is that going to help me today? Not really. Sometimes we're just miserable because of what we don't have. And to be relying on God, and God brings him to a point, and he tells him, look, I'm going to bring you some food. Right? You guys are hungry. God hears this. I'm thankful that God's merciful. Here they are, a bunch of kind of belly achers in the wilderness, and God says, you know, I'm still going to take care of you. He goes, here's the deal. In the evening, I'm going to bring quail down, and you guys will have meat. He goes, but in the morning, I'm going to do this miraculous thing. I'm going to provide for you. You're going to go out, and there's going to be something on the ground. They call it manna. Manna just means, what is it? What is it? I don't know. It's the bread from heaven God provides. And manna goes up, and the Bible tells us a little bit about, I don't know if you can read that or not. But in here it says manna is described as being a fine flake-like thing, like frost on the ground. It had to be collected before it melted, so when the sun came out, it melted away, so it was self-cleaning. It was like little coriander seeds. It was white. If you ate it raw, you could eat it raw. It tastes like honey wafers. You could take it and you could crush it and you could boil it or you could turn around and bake it in the cakes. It was this multi-purpose type thing that God provided for them. As we look at this, the provision, how God just took care of it all. Now, over the years, I've read a lot of different explanations, and some people say, well, this is sap from trees, and others come up through, no, it's excretions from insects. There's a whole bunch of other things. I find it interesting. We're always trying to explain the miracles and to feed the amount of people that was fed. God just took care. All they had to do was go out every morning and gather up what they needed. Talks about an omer, about a quart for each person. All you got to do is go out every day and gather it up. If you waited too long, the sun came out, it went away, so you had to be up early to get it. You couldn't wait, you couldn't dawdle. You couldn't save it. We're going to see that some people would gather up over extra. I said, well, I'll be prudent. I'll gather up extra. God said, no, today's enough for today. That it turned into worms if you gather it up too much. To rely on God. To trust in him each day that he was going to provide exactly what you need, how much you needed, enough to satisfy. Paul talks about this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 19. It says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hopefully that's a promise that you have just locked into your brain. God will provide all your needs. Notice what it says. Does God provide all your wants? You know, this is the time of year we ask our daughter for a list of things she wants for Christmas. And it's funny how, you know, what do you want? And so looking at her list, it's kind of interesting, some of the different things that she wants. And then my wife will ask me, what do I want? I don't know. And so I ask her, what do you want? I don't know. So I think we're the hardest ones to try to pick things up for. Because over the years, you know, do I really need... But God says, let me take care of your needs, not all your wants. But God, you will find satisfaction. You know, it's funny because you go out and they say, look, everyone went out and gathered up and they were filled. Everyone was content. Everyone had enough. God will provide enough for you to be content if you will find contentment in him. Have you learned that lesson in the wilderness? To fully rely on him. He will provide. He will satisfy. In Matthew, Jesus was out teaching, and a bunch of them came to him. And Satan comes to Jesus, and he tempts him. He says, now when the tempter came, he said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, and he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The things that satisfy aren't always the material things. You know, I've been down that road. You know, God, if you just give me just a little bit more money, I'd be happy. You know what? It doesn't work that way. God, I'll be faithful. You know, I've done that, you know, driving down the car, down the road in the car, and it's making weird noises. And, well, you know, God, if you just get me to the gas station, you know, if you just get me off the exit ramp, right? Then God, I'll, right? We kind of wheel and deal with God over material things. And those aren't the things that satisfy. Those are the things that last. As we turn around and seek out the Lord and ask Him, oftentimes what we need is not more stuff. Can I tell you something? Often, the more stuff we have, the more miserable we are. Now, this is sort of counterintuitive to the world's idea. And we see this kind of catching in. You know, we pulled up on Netflix and we'll watch. Have you ever seen these tiny house? Yeah, like Tiny House Nation. And so my wife and I will, now we are not tiny house people. Look at me. I am not a tiny house person. And I am, don't look, honey. I admit, what's another word for pack rat that's not so nice, that's nicer? What? I'm a collector of items I might need in the future. You know, so I'm like, I'm being prudent because I might need this someday. Right? I mean, down in my basement right now, I have a tote that's filled with like old hard drives when back Windows 3.1. Because, you know what? I might need that. My wife doesn't know it's down there. Right? I mean, I need all this stuff. And so we watch the show, Tiny House, and people purge and go down through. And I look at that and say, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to live that way until I see, you know, the lady's elbow in her husband's ear as they're trying to, you know, it's like, oh, okay, maybe that's not that. But there's people are starting to realize it's not in stuff. I'm not happy with all that stuff. If it was all about that, you know, Hollywood would be the happiest people in the world. They'd have the most successful marriages. They'd have the most perfect kids. If it was all on wealth, then that would be the criteria. But guess what? It's not. As we put the Lord first, as we seek Him, He brings a joy and a peace that He provides for us each day. But it comes in the idea of being reliant upon Him. God, I'm going to trust in You. My goal today, Lord, is to please You. And that changes everything in our lives. As we become reliant on Him. The second thing we look at is the Lord gives us enough for the day. He gives us enough for the day. In Exodus, as we talk about this idea of manna, it says, and so it was that quail came up from the evening and covered the camp. And in the morning, the dew laid all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there was on the surface of the wilderness, there was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. I love how the creative naming here. What is it? I don't know. Let's call it, what was it? And Moses said to them, this is bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This thing which the Lord has commanded, let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer, or about a quart, for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered, and some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. Folks, we need to realize God will give us enough for today. Today. Lord, help me be faithful today. Lord, let me do Your will today. Right? Well, what about? Today. And maybe some of you have been going through that. I know some of you have gone through some really difficult things. Lord, give me the strength today. And the Bible promises these things. We already alluded to Matthew 6:11. In the Lord's Prayer, he says, "And give us this day our daily bread." Lord, satisfy me today. Meet my needs today, Lord. I'm hurting now, Lord. Satisfy me. Give me peace today. Fill me up today. And as we do that, we live our lives in that such a way, Lord, the Lord will turn around and miraculously, I think, change our attitudes and change our mentality. Book of Lamentations puts it this way. So though the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassion fails not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God's mercy starts all over again every day. I'm so glad for that. Right? Because you know what? Sometimes by the end of the day, I've messed up. Right? Maybe I've worried when I shouldn't have. Maybe I've fretted when I shouldn't have. Maybe I've lost my anger. Maybe I wasn't faithful like I should, right? I know none of you have to deal with this, but I'm glad that I'm, at the end of the day, I'm like, Lord, oh, I blew it. I messed up. And God says, you know what? Go to bed. And when the alarm wakes me up the next morning, God's mercies are overflowing for that day. What a wonderful picture that is. Every morning his mercies are new. Lord, forgive me for the past. And God said, okay, it's there. Leave it there. Move on. I will satisfy. I will meet your needs. I will give you that overwhelming new mercies each and every day. Talk about the idea of worry and for fret. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. And here he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore do not, what? Did you read that? Therefore do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Suffice for the day its own trouble. Right? I don't know if anyone remembers this. Does anyone remember the old variety shows that used to be on TV? You know, like the Mike Douglas Show. Dinah Reed? There was a whole bunch of shows, right? I used to watch, I think it was the Mike Douglas Show. Why? I don't know. But I always liked, they would have, and this is, you can tell this is life before the internet, because this is what people did for entertainment. Does anyone remember the old plate spinners? And I remember as a kid, and watching this, and they would take sticks, and they would take plates, and spin the plates on the sticks. How many know what I'm talking about? How many are like, Pastor, you've lost it? But they would turn around and spin the plates, and the goal was to see how many you could get going and spin. And I was fascinated by that because you'd see, you know, you'd have 20, 30 plates and run around and they start getting wobbly, or you run over and spin it a little bit more. And he was just running back and forth and spinning all the plates. And don't try this at home, because I was a young, impressionable youth and my mom listens to these, so some plates may or may not have been broken in the house, as I may have or may not have tried to spin some plates around the house. So one of our houses, someone's going to dig up in the backyard and find some plates that were broken that I maybe did hide there. Did you follow that? This image just sticks in my head, because how many of you guys feel like that's your life? You're trying to keep things going, you're trying to get going, you're back and forth, and you're finally getting to a point where things are just kind of wobbling and trying to get stressed out. God didn't design us to be that way. Lord, help me today to do what you want me to do. You know, there's some things that I can't control. There's lots of things I can't control. There's a lot of things that I have no impact over. Lord, help me trust in you today. Wake up tomorrow morning, God will give you his new mercies. And you suffice it for that day. But at the end of it all, when we turn around and Lord, you will give me, you will satisfy, give me what you want me to have today. At the beginning of it, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I'll tell you, this is a most powerful lesson you can learn in your life. Because here's a list of things. And everything wants to be on the top of the list. Right? Everything's right now. I think one of the dangers of being in such an electronic world, I was talking to an older pastor, he goes, yeah, I remember that, you know, every once in a while someone would send you a letter and you'd get the letter, you'd read the letter, and about 3 days later you'd write back and they would get the letter in another 4 days. He goes, anything that happened took like a week or so, sometimes a month. He had time to reflect and think, and no one wanted an instant answer. Now we live in a day and age where, you know, someone texts you like something right now, and they want all the decisions right now. This is the most important thing right now. And you're like, I have no time to think, no time to pray, right? Everyone wants it. You know, I had someone send me off an email and I didn't get back to it. It was like 3 hours later. And the person texted me like four times back. You ready? You have those people in your life? It's like they must be writing something before the one's even sent, right? It's like all of a sudden I'm being bombarded and they're like, well, why don't you answer? Why don't you answer? Why don't you answer? Because I'm trying to play catch up. Stop beeping my phone, right? You know? It's like, oh, it has to be done right now. You know, and people get upset. Okay, well, can I let you know? Well, no, I need, right? We live in such an accelerated world. Lord, help me put you on the top of the list. And the most powerful thing we can learn in all this is if you have Jesus, you have everything. Lord, I can be satisfied with what I have as long as I have you, Lord. Everything else is just stuff. Lord, help me put that in priority and help me put it in its proper place. The last thing I want to look at, we have a choice. As we are living daily with the Lord, we have the choice. I can either choose to trust him or I can choose fear. Now, what are you talking about? The Lord said, look, go out every day. I'll take care of it, right? This is a promise of God. And God's promises are always true. So God says he'll be out there every day. He'll be out there. Sometimes we turn around in that case. He says, look, on the Sabbath day, because there's no work, the day before, gather up double. So see, Israelites get into a pattern. Exodus tells us that Moses said, let no one leave any of it till morning. Notwithstanding, right? God told him, look, what's going to happen to it? It's going to rot. It's going to go. But nevertheless, notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses. But some of them left part of it till morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them, so he gathered it every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted. Sometimes what the Lord wants us to do is just trust him. The Lord wants us to trust him. And sometimes the Lord brings us to a point where we come to the end of ourselves and we surrender, say, God, I can't do this anymore. And God's like, finally. God, how are you going to work this out? And sometimes God waits until the last moment to see if we'll trust him or not. God promised every morning it's going to be out there. And some people were nervous over it. Maybe some of them were greedy. Hey, here's something that's free. I'll just gather up more. And God said, no, take what you need. No, I'm going to gather it more. Brought it in and it rotted. Maybe some were fearful. Right? Well, okay, it's here this morning. You know, I know God said it'll be there tomorrow, but is it really going to be out there? I don't know. So I'm going to gather it more. Each opportunity, each trial we have, each difficulty we have in our life is really a test of whether we will trust the Lord or not. Lord, are you going to do this? Are you going to keep your promise? Or will it fear overcome me? Let me tell you something. Fear is a powerful thing. It grips us, causes us to wander off the path God wants us to be on. It is a fearful thing. Jesus tells us in Luke, and Jesus said to them, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." God wants us to grab a hold of him and press forward. To press forward. Not be looking over our shoulders, not living in regret. Pressing on. That each step of the way, he is faithful. He will meet our needs. We don't need to worry. We don't have to fear. At the end of the book of John, Jesus had died and rose again, and Peter had denied the Lord three times before his crucifixion. And in John, we have the case where Jesus is working with Peter to restore him. And Peter does what we often do, is we look around. And Peter's kind of on the hot spot, and Jesus is working on him. And he looks around, and he sees the disciple John standing there. And this is the dialogue he comes up through. And Peter, seeing him, talking about John, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about that man?" Right? We look around, and we want to look at other people. Well, what about them? I think this is one of the big things we have at Good News Club. You're dealing with a bunch of kids, right? Yeah, you know. Hey, I want you to do that. Yeah, but so-and-so is doing that. Hold up, you know, I'm not talking to so-and-so. I'm working on you, right? And God says that. And we want to pass the buck. We want to look around. Well, what about everyone else? And Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remains till I come, what is that to you? Follow me." Basically, what Jesus says, it's none of your business what I do with other people. What about you? As we walk with the Lord and I have my eyes on him, I don't need to worry. I don't need a friend. God will take care. God will provide. If I keep my eyes on him. Each day, Lord, your provision, your mercies are new. You'll give me enough to deal with today. You'll give me the strength for today. And what about everyone else? You know what? It doesn't matter. That's all a distraction. Right? God, what do you want for me today? You know, the day's not over with you yet. God's not done with you. You still got a couple more hours. Lord, help me learn this lesson of living daily for you. Put the worry and fret aside. Focus on you, Lord, and he will take care. So we look at this lesson that we have in the wilderness in our lives. God will meet all our needs. He is faithful. Just keep our eyes on him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Encourage us, bless us with it, Lord. Lord, I get so caught up in tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Lord, I worry and I fret. Lord, I look at what other people are doing and what they have. Lord, help me just block that out and keep my eyes on you, Lord. You will provide each day what I need as I follow you. Lord, thank you. What a promise this is. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.